Now it's on. Okay, thank you. I don't usually put it in my pocket, but today I did, and the button is backwards. I put it in there wrong. While you're finding 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me just say, too, that a couple of our folks and that I know of just in the last day or two have been taken to the hospital, Bobby Burgess and Beverly Mullins, and so keep them in prayer, and Lisa delivered. Her new baby boy, and we're excited about that. Lisa Keller. What was his name? Stephen Michael. And so we have been praying for that delivery, and God has blessed, and the baby's doing well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That opening statement there, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. What a challenge that is to us. It sounds simple, and it's just so concise there. It's easy to even miss it as you're looking for that passage, because I said verses 16 through 18, and you're looking for a piece this long. It's just this big. It's really compacted, but there's a lot in there. And Paul challenges us here about our attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving's coming up, and for many of you, the kids are coming home. Cole and his wife and new baby, they're here today visiting for the holidays, and we're excited about that. The day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix, Arizona, called his son in New York, and he said to his son, I hate to ruin your day, but your mother and I are getting a divorce. 45 years of misery is enough, and we're calling it quits. We're sick of each other. And so you can call your sister in Chicago and tell her. And so the son just was flabbergasted. He didn't know what to think. And frantically, he gets on the phone to his sister, and she explodes on the phone saying, they are absolutely not getting divorced. She said, I'll take care of this. And so she got on the phone, and she called Phoenix to her dad, and she began talking. She says, listen, you are not getting divorced. Don't you do a single thing until I get there. Michael and I are coming out, and we'll both be there tomorrow, and until we get there, don't do anything. Do you hear me? And so the man hung up the phone, turned to his wife, and said, honey, the kids are coming home for Thanksgiving, and they're paying for their own flights. Yeah. Oh, my. Thanksgiving, it's a great family time. It's an opportunity for families to get together, to eat, to laugh, to share a good meal together, and really to demonstrate love for each other. Because particularly if our families are scattered about that aspect of showing love, we love each other, but those opportunities to demonstrate that in a very tangible way, for a lot of families, it's difficult because we don't see each other very often. And so some people are fortunate enough to be able to have their family members with them on Thanksgiving. And if so, you should thank God for that, because it is a great blessing that perhaps we take for granted. And some people don't get to spend time with their family members on Thanksgiving. And if that's you, then still God calls us to be thankful. And so really this concept that Paul introduces here reminds us that it's always right to be thankful. And our text showcases for us some attitudes and some actions of thanksgiving, which really should be demonstrable in our lives if we call ourselves Christians and believers and followers of Christ. One of the first things that you see there in that very simple passage is be joyful. Verse 16, be joyful always. He didn't just say be joyful sometimes. He said be joyful always. Be thankful. Because a thankful person is really a joyful person. And a joyful person is generally a thankful person. The story was told of two old friends who hadn't seen each other in a long time, and they happened to bump into one another on the street one day, and as they were talking, one of the two just looked forlorn, sad, downcast, really almost on the verge of tears. And his friend asked him, said, "Man, what in the world, what has the world done to you? What in the world's wrong with you, old friend?" And the sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, an uncle of mine died and left me $40,000. And the friend said, "Wow, that's a lot of money." He said, "Yeah, but 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I never knew died and left me $85,000, free and clear." And the other friend said, "Well, that sounds like you've been blessed." And he says, "But you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited almost $250,000. And the friend, being totally confused now, says, "I don't get it. Why are you so glum?" And he said, "Well, this week, nothing. This week, nothing." My goodness. Aren't we sometimes like that, though, really, when we think about the blessings that we receive from the Lord? We're all blessed in special ways. God meets our needs so perfectly and so beautifully, and still we seem to expect more all the time. If we're not careful, we'll have that this week, nothing kind of attitude. And so we're challenged, you know, to be thankful, because sometimes we're not as joyful as we ought to be. And I wonder, could it be that we don't recognize the great blessings that we've already been given? Could it be that those blessings that came at just the right time, that were so important and such a blessing and so special to us a week or two or a month or two ago, have soon been shuffled back to the filing cabinets in the back of our mind, and we're just thinking about what's next, and we forget about the blessings that we've already been given? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul challenges us, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, then why do you boast as though you did not?" Paul was challenging the Corinthians there, who were becoming arrogant. And some were financially doing better than others, and it was causing a rift in the church, and some of the people were filled with pride, and they were looking down on others, and there was just a lot of interpersonal stuff going on. And it's very interesting, if you read through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, that was a great church with so much potential, but yet they experienced a lot of problems in the fact that Paul had to write them two really scathing letters to try to line them out about some very serious spiritual issues. And one of them was not being thankful. He reminds us that everything that we have comes from God. Our jobs, our incomes, our cars, our houses, land, food, clothing, our health, you name it. It's all given to us by the blessings of God. And we have no right, Paul says, to boast as if we provided it ourselves. Now you may be thinking, "Now wait a minute, preacher. I work hard for my stuff. I work hard to provide my family." I get that, but you've got to take it back a little further than what you're doing. You've got to ask yourself the question, who gives me the health to be able to go to work every day and earn the income to take care of my family? Who blesses you with the intellect to be able to do what you've done? Who gave you those personal gifts of interpersonal abilities, and who's given you that outlook and a worldview that enables you to go to your job with the right attitude and do a good job and receive a promotion here and there? And wherever you are in life, you're there because of the blessings of God. James tells us that every good gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Every good gift. And so at Thanksgiving season, it's just one of those times that we just kind of pause, you know, and we take a moment, hopefully, to really kind of take stock and to think about the blessings of God. Because if you're like me, and I think we all have this tendency, that we have that tendency to focus on our challenges. the problems in our life have that ability somehow to steal the spotlight. And we put so much attention on our financial struggle, if that's what we're going through, or a health struggle, if that's what we're facing right now, or interpersonal struggles, relational struggles in the family. And if we're not careful, we'll become so laser-focused on a problem that all of the blessings that God is pouring into our life on a daily basis, we forget to even think of, and we forget to thank Him for. I heard a story Leslie Weatherhead told about eating supper with a couple in northern England right at the conclusion of World War II. And at that time, because of the war, because of rationing, food was still very scarce. But the wife managed to prepare a really fine meal. She was able to get some fresh trout from the nearby stream. She was able to cook up some fresh vegetables that she had grown, and she seasoned everything just right, and they sat down and enjoyed a super meal together, very thankful because it was a time of scarcity in food. And at the end of the meal, of course, the guest, he thanked his hostess for it, and she blushed and kind of shyly said, "Well, thank you so much, sir, but you know, my husband never thanks me when I prepare a fine meal for him." And Weatherhead said that he felt a little bit embarrassed for the husband because the husband was sitting right there at the table when she said that. And he looked over at the husband and he realized that the husband wasn't a bit embarrassed by that. It just went right over his head. And he said later, recounting that story, he said, "I can still see that man sitting there saying, 'Well, hey, love, I would have told you if I didn't like it. I would have told you if I didn't like it.'" And isn't that so easy for us to slip into that attitude of living? Instead of being humbled, instead of being appreciative, we are so quick to complain. We're quick to tell the Lord when we don't like something or how He's blessing or the time frame in which He's choosing to bless. When we bring things to the Lord in prayer, and if God doesn't snap to right now in the time frame that we think He should act, then we begin to grumble and we begin to complain. We have to be so careful lest we become grumbly hateful instead of humbly grateful. A young man was feeling very proud of himself. He was a new college student, studied in math and things, and came out and was able to take his CPA exams and passed his CPA exams with flying colors. And now proudly he boasts to his friends that he is a full-fledged certified public accountant. And he comes home, and his family were immigrants. His dad was an immigrant to the United States who now owned his own little business. And filled with self-importance, as the young man began to talk with his father, he began to criticize his father's way of keeping the books. He said, "Dad, you don't even know how much profit you've made. Well, you've got in this drawer over here, your accounts receivable, in this drawer over here, your accounts payables. You keep your money in the cash register. You don't have any idea of how much money you've made." And the father answered and said, "Son, listen, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was this pair of pants." He said, "And now your brother is a doctor, and your sister is an art teacher, and you are a full-fledged certified public accountant. Your mother and I own our own home, we have a car, and we own this little business." He said, "Now you add all that up and subtract the pants, and all the rest is profit." He knew how much he had made, didn't he? He understood that you take away that pair of pants and everything else was profit. What a wonderful attitude, isn't it? To live and realize that everything that we have is profit, that it's been given to us by the Lord. Add everything up in your life and subtract the pants. And that's exactly what we need to do at Thanksgiving, because the Bible tells us that we brought nothing into the world. Even though that immigrant father wore a pair of pants that he owned when he came to the country, we weren't wearing pants when we were born, amen? And the Bible tells us that we brought nothing into the world, and neither can we carry anything out of it, in 1 Timothy. We came into this world with nothing but the eternal soul that the Father put within us. Everything else is profit. So we should be joyful. And then secondly, we ought to give thanks. That's what thanksgiving is all about. Verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, sometimes people come to me and they say, "Pastor Shane, I'm having a hard time discerning God's will. I don't know what God's will is for my life." Well, you are probably speaking of some very specific thing. Perhaps you're wrestling with a call of God in your life to some specific type of service or ministry, and I get that. But here's the place to start. You're not going to understand the specifics of God's will in your life until you first of all understand the big thing, and that is thankfulness. Be thankful, the Bible says, because this is God's will for your life. And so if you're not living a thankful life, if you're not walking in daily thankfulness, if you're not praying and thanking the Lord for your blessings, for your health, for your family, for your job, if you're not able to recognize that the only thing that you brought into this world was your soul and everything else is profit, then you are not fulfilling God's will for your life. And listen, I don't really think that God is so obliged or obligated to help us understand the small things if we're not even willing to recognize the big things. Amen? This is a principle that applies to all of us in all circumstances. He says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will." So if you've been struggling with God's will, go back to this. You spend the next 3 months with the goal of every day you wake up, you thank the Lord. You give thanks for your life. You give thanks for your health. You give thanks for the place you live. You give thanks for those in your family. You give thanks for your church family. You give thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit in you. You give thanks to God. And in 3 months, if you are faithful to do that in 3 months, I believe that God will begin to open up the veil and specific calls in your life will begin to come much more clear. There's a principle in Scripture that says, "You've been faithful in little things, so I'll make you thankful in big things." And this here is a big thing. And so we have to start with the big things. And then God begins to reveal to us His will about small things. A thankful person is quick to give thanks to God in all circumstances. I like the story of a lady who pulled up to a drive-in window at the bank. And it was late in the afternoon, and at that time of year, the sun, when it gets to about to a certain point, the sun came through the canopy, the drive-through thing, and it hit the window, and it was blinding the teller. And so the teller had a shade, and the teller could pull down this shade, which blocked the glare and the sun, and he could see through it. You know, it had holes in it, and you know what I'm talking about, that kind of a thing. But from the outside, with the glare reflecting on the glass and the shade down, as the lady pulled up, she couldn't see the teller. And so she pulled up, and as she rolled down her window, the drawer slid out, and she put her deposit and her checks in there, and then the drawer slid back. And then in a minute or so, the drawer slid out again, and there was her deposit slip and the cash that she had requested from that. She couldn't see in, but the man inside could see out. And so she counted her money, she put it in her purse, and she got ready to go. Then she looked up at that window, unable to see anyone inside, and she said, "I suppose you're totally automated, but I just feel like I ought to say thank you." Isn't that a great attitude? Even though she couldn't see the person, even though she didn't know even if there was anybody behind that screen in that window. But she had an attitude of gratitude. She had a thankful heart. And we would say kudos to her. Good job, because we ought to live that way. We ought to have that thankfulness ought to be an initial response for us. And I think if we begin to be thankful on a daily basis to the Lord, and we begin to recount the good things that God has blessed us with, and we start our day off that way, we'll go through the day being able to recognize many other opportunities to express thanks to those around us, and to those who serve us, and to those who bless us in life. We should be thankful to those even though we may not know them, or perhaps not even be able to see them, but we should give thanks. Paul says here, give thanks in all circumstances. He didn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He said give thanks in all circumstances. Now, you know, I've always had a little bit of a problem I'd meet somebody and they'd be coughing and hacking and, you know, blowing their nose and their eyes are all watery and they're achy and they feel terrible. And I'd say something like, well, hey, man, you feeling bad? You got a cold? Oh, no, I don't have a cold. I've named it and claimed it. I'm not admitting this cold. I'm not recognizing this cold in my life. That's unspiritual. I go, well, whatever floats your boat. When I have the flu, I whine and I cry to my wife and she takes care of me and she dotes on me and I milk it for all it's worth. The Bible doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. I'll just be honest with you. When I'm sick, I don't thank God that I'm sick. But I thank God during that sickness and in that sickness that I'm not alone. He's given me a loving wife to dote on me and take care of me. He's given me friends that check on me and call me and encourage me. He's given me the gift of the Holy Spirit, which gives me inner strength. And so we should be thankful in any circumstance, even the difficult circumstances. Not necessarily thankful for the circumstance, but when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a tough time, when you're facing things that you can't quite control yourself, we are to be thankful even then in those circumstances. You know, you have to go back to the context. And at this time in the life of the early church, there was a lot of persecution. There was a lot of tough things happening to the early church. And Paul, writing in that context, says, be thankful in all circumstances. All the circumstances of our life are not good. And if I ask for testimonies about tough times, just about every one of you could stand up and go on for about 30 minutes about all the tough times that you've had in your life. Because we have tough times in our lives. But there will always be something good in those tough times, in those circumstances, for which we can give thanks to God. If you read Robinson Crusoe in school, or perhaps before or after, you'll remember that when Robinson Crusoe was shipwrecked on a lonely island, that there he took time to take stock and he thought about both the good and the bad of his situation. As he recounted, he was cast onto a desolate island, but yet he was alive. He was not drowned as so many of his ship's company was. Here he is, divided, isolated from mankind, but yet not starving. He had no clothes, but it was a hot tropical climate, and he didn't really need a lot of clothes. He was without means of defense. He had no gun. He had no weaponry, but yet he said, I see no wild animals to threaten me. He had really nothing to speak of, but God had sent the ship so near to the shore that he could get out of that ship all of the things that he needed. And so he concluded that there was not any condition in the world perhaps more miserable than his, but that even in spite of all of that, there were many things for which he could be thankful. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have. And Crusoe would give thanks in all circumstances. He found some things when he really thought about it, even in the midst of a tough situation. Shipwrecked, friends dead, on an island, all alone, with nothing, and yet He was thankful. And we can be thankful too. We can be thankful no matter how bad our situation, no matter how tough our circumstances might seem to be. We can be thankful if we'll take a little break from complaining and begin to look at the good things that God is providing even in the midst of difficulty. Max Lucado, some of you are familiar with him. He is an inspirational Christian writer. We actually did a Bible study a couple of years ago that Max Lucado wrote, and it was good. We all enjoyed it. But he tells a story about himself when he was living as an American, living in Brazil. He went to Brazil to teach. And one day he said he was walking along the street on his way to the university to teach when he felt a tug on his pants leg. And turning around, he saw this little boy, 5 or 6 years old, with dark, beady eyes and dirty-faced. And the little boy looked up at this big American and he said, "Bread, sir." And he was a little beggar boy. Max said there were always little beggar boys in the streets of Brazil. And he said, usually I would just turn away from them and walk away because they're everywhere. There are so many beggar boys in the streets. He said, you can't feed them all. And so he had just kind of learned to sort of ignore them and just walk on by. But he said there was something so compelling about this particular little boy that he said I couldn't turn away. So taking his hand, he said, come with me. And he said, I took him into a coffee shop. Max told the coffee shop owner, said, I'll have a cup of coffee and give the boy a piece of pastry, whatever he wants. And he said, since the counter for the coffee was down at the other end of the store, he walked on down to there to get his cup of coffee. And he really just kind of forgot about the little boy because beggar boys would usually, once they got what they wanted, they would just grab it, run back out into the street and disappear. But this little boy didn't do that. After he got his pastry, he walked down the counter there to where the big American was waiting for his coffee. And he just stood there, Mr. Lucado said, until he felt those beady little eyes burning a hole in him. He said, I turned and I looked at him. Standing up, his eyes were about to hit my belt buckle, and then slowly his eyes came up to meet mine. The little boy, holding his pastry in one hand, looked up and said, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And Max said, I was so touched by the boy's thanks that I would have bought him the whole store. He said, I sat there for another 30 minutes, late for my class, just thinking about a little beggar boy who came back and said thank you. And you know, if a little Brazilian beggar boy could make Max Lucado's heart bubble, I wonder, could we make God's heart leap for joy if we were to come and say, thank you very much? Yeah, I believe that's true. I believe that you and I have the ability to put a smile on God's face by being thankful. Think about that. Just imagine that you, as an individual, among billions of people on the planet, among all the galaxies and all the planets and all that's out there, just imagine you, just a speck on this earth, that you have the ability to put a smile on the face of eternity, of eternal God. Paul said, remember, this is God's will for our lives. That we have that opportunity to come back and say thank you. Not to just grab the pastry and run out back into the street and disappear, but to stay there. To stay there and say thank you. I remember years ago, and we've talked about it before, but I remember years ago being challenged. Being challenged to just to pray. Pray for 10 minutes, and in 10 minutes praying on your knees, don't ask God for anything. Now you think, well, that's no big deal. I can do that. Really? Well, try it. Try it. Because we are in such a habit of coming to the Lord with our laundry list. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless this one. Lord, do this. Lord, help me here. Lord, give me strength. Lord, help my faith. Lord, help me, help me. Give me, give me, give me. That we're so used to just coming to into the Lord's presence with nothing but hands out. And how often have we just intentionally got on our knees to pray for just 10 minutes and do nothing but thank the Lord? Now see, if you do that, you've got to begin to get specific. You can't just say, thank you, 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 for 10 minutes. You'd lose your place and you'd have to start all over again. But you think about that. Perhaps before you do that exercise, you may want to just get a piece of paper and just start writing all of the things that you're thankful for, all of the good gifts that the Father above has poured into your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you for my health. Thank you for the ability to work. Thank you for my mind, the ability to think and to reason and to move forward. Thank you, Father, for those that you've brought into my life that support me and help me. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me when I was foolish. Thank you, Lord, when I look back on my youth, when I could have been killed so many times, and yet somehow, Lord, you got me through my foolish youth into adulthood. Thank you, Lord, for perhaps a praying mother. Thank you, Lord, for a dad who loved me and worked and didn't come home and pet the dog and kick me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And there's so much. And we so seldom do it. And I would just challenge you, just think about that. Could you really just get on your knees and for 10 solid minutes go through a litany of thankfulness? And listen, when you do that, you get up off your knees, the world looks entirely different. Your perspective on who you are and how you work and fit into the plan of God begins to unfold before your very eyes. Paul says, this is God's will for our lives, that we give thanks, that we pray, and that we are with Him always. A little 8-year-old girl, Christina, was diagnosed with cancer in her nervous system. And while she was in the hospital, her birthday came. And so she was asked about what she wanted for her birthday. And she thought long and hard about what she wanted for her birthday. 8 years old, cancer. And she finally said, I don't know. She said, I have 2 sticker books and a beautiful little girl dolly. She said, I have everything. And said the people standing around that bed when those nurses were trying to do something special for her just began to weep. Because here she was in her state feeling like she had everything. And those around her who in so many ways had everything had forgotten what they had. And you know, the truth is that we all have that great cancer within us, the cancer of the soul. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was that sin bearer, that Jesus took our cancer of sin upon Himself and into Himself. And when He took that cancer of sin away from us, He gave us the gift of His precious Holy Spirit. We were just talking about this Wednesday night, to realize that God has given us Himself, His person, as we understand it in the Holy Spirit. And we have everything when we have Him. We have everything we need when we have Jesus. Because the world may turn dark and circumstances may turn difficult and you may lose everything that you have. But let me tell you something you cannot lose. If you know Jesus, you cannot lose that gift of the Holy Spirit. You were sealed until the day of redemption. God's gift to you, God's down payment, God's guarantee that even in difficult days, better days are ahead. May we all have ears to hear. and hearts to receive and accept and be thankful of what the Apostle Paul says to us today. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we are not typically good at being thankful. It is within us to be selfish. It is within our nature to take things for granted. It is in our nature to always be asking, always wanting, and seldom thankful. And we acknowledge that today, Lord, and we ask you to forgive us. We are not unthankful intentionally. We don't mean to be that way. But Lord, if we're honest, we can look at many situations in our life where we have complained and grumbled and not even uttered a thank you under our breath. And so, Father, here at this Thanksgiving season and this week of Thanksgiving and family coming together and opportunities to be thankful, Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, prompt us to be thankful in all circumstances, that you might be blessed, that we might put a smile on your face, and that those around us might see our uncharacteristic thankful attitude and realize that there's something different about a believer. May we live our lives in such a way that a lost world sees our thankfulness, sees Jesus in us, and says, I want some of that. That's what's missing in my life. I need that. And so, Father, we love you, and today we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. And if God prompts your heart this morning to come and pray about something, then feel free to do that. If God prompts your heart to become a part of this local fellowship, because the Bible teaches God works through the church. God works through the local church. And you need to be connected. Every believer needs to be in a body. Accountability, partnership, encouragement, helping one another, serving one another. And if you're just kind of dangling out there, just floating on the edges, you're missing out. You're missing out on many, many blessings that God wants to pour into your life. And you're not finding your place of service. And so you're doubly frustrated. You're frustrated on the one hand because you're not a part, and you're frustrated on the other hand because you don't have a place to serve. Because God has put it in our heart to be a part and to serve. And so if you need to make First Baptist your church home this morning, why don't you come as we sing, if God's leading you in that way. If you need to rededicate your life, come. But most importantly, if you are not a follower of Christ, and notice I didn't say if you're not somebody that prayed a prayer at one time and somebody said, there you go, you're saved. But are you following Jesus? Is he important in your life? If you're not a follower of Christ, then you need to give your life to him today and begin following him. We call that being saved. Being saved from our sin and made right with God that we might have eternal life. So if that's your need this morning, if you came with that emptiness, you could take care of that today. So as we sing, you come.